The world we have trusted in is vanishing before our eyes. The world that is coming at us feels like a threat to us, and we can't quite see the shape of it. This quote describes the experience of many in our country right now. Whether this feeling motivated their vote in the election, or whether the results of the election caused them to feel this way, or whether they have felt this way for some time. The quote is from biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann as he talks about the writings of the Hebrew prophets shared by Jews and Christians. He says that like the people of that time, the world we have trusted in is vanishing before our eyes. The world that is coming at us feels like a threat to us. We can't quite see the shape of it. The Hebrew prophets, like many prophets, were those who told us not to accept our current reality as normal and acceptable. They told us, do not sleep, wake up. If you follow the news, it can be tempting to check out, to go back to sleep. There are so many things happening in our country and in our world that go against our belief in the inherent worth and dignity of all people. Our care for the interdependent web, our values of reason, respect, responsibility. Much is at risk, yet some are saying, wait and see, or it can't be as bad as we fear, or even it will be bad, but what can we do? This is a time to be a people of prophecy. The typical understanding of prophecy, right, is telling the future. But this is a narrow view. What prophets do is cast visions. Not necessarily crystal ball visions, but they see deeply into reality and can call forth what theists would call God's hope for the world, and what non-theists could call hope for a world beyond our imagining, better than we could imagine. As Unitarian Universalist Richard Gilbert says in The Prophetic Imperative, prophecy in the Bible does not concern itself primarily with foretelling future events. It deals rather with forthtelling the intuitively felt will of God. Prophets were not so much predictors of the future as they were its architects. Prophets cast visions. Think of Martin Luther King Jr. and his speech, "I have a dream." Prophets cast paradigm-shifting visions that push us beyond what's now. Prophetic visions are two-part, sometimes at the same time. Those two parts being judgment and hope. So here's an example of judgment from the prophet Jeremiah. I invite you to hear these words for our time. Can you do this slide? My anguish, I writhe in pain. Oh, the walls of my heart is beating wildly. I cannot keep silent, for I hear the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Disaster overtakes disaster. The whole land is laid waste. For my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins. Prophets see and say, they judge and lament. Because of their sharp critique, prophets are those who make us uncomfortable. In fact, if we have become comfortable with a prophet, we have probably selectively adopted only their teachings which come easy to us. As Parker Palmer says, avoid the bad habit of domesticating the prophet of your choice, turning them into a cheerleader for your way of thinking. Remember that all the great prophets were courageous and outrageous folks who railed against the powers that be, challenged the self-satisfied, threatened the prevailing social order, and would find you falling short in some significant ways. Because they offer such critique, prophets are often on the margins and not even recognized or appreciated until after their death. As Cornel West says, a prophetic person tells the truth, exposes lies, bears witness, and then usually is pushed to the margins or shot dead. Prophets are cast out not only because they critique, but also because they cast visions that most of us cannot fathom. They are so beyond our current world. Can you do this live? Perhaps you have heard before these verses from Isaiah. They shall beat their swords into, anyone know? Plowshares. And their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Prophecy is a vision of both judgment and hope, a vision of a radically different but wonderfully possible world. A hopeful vision can lead a people in the same way that we, Unitarian Universalists, strive to be guided by the vision of beloved community. Despite how dangerous the world feels, how bleak the landscape, how small our efforts, how great the stakes, how embedded the disease, the vision tells us not to settle for anything less than our greatest hopes, even if we do not live to see them realized. If we give up, if we fall asleep, if we normalize what should never be allowed, then that vision will surely be cut off from us, because we will not see the resources and the opportunities when they emerge. Isaiah says, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. But if we are asleep, we cannot see that new thing. If we become cynical and hardened, we lose our flexibility for new ways. One of the most powerful images I have encountered to describe the location of the prophet is Richard Rohr's concept of living on the outside edge of the inside. The outside edge of the inside. At the edge, you have not renounce the world, nor are you blindly loyal to the world. You have one foot in and one foot out. Or maybe it's both feet in and leaning out. Or maybe both feet out and leaning in. Or maybe it's coming and going, the keeper of the doorway between. On the edge of the inside, Jesus was a Jew critiquing Judaism. Buddha had awakened from the world but remained within it, teaching king and beggar alike the middle way, not the extreme of self-indulgence or the extreme of asceticism. In our history, Unitarians and Universalists were always on the edge of the inside because of their Christian heresies, that God is good, that all are saved, that there is divinity within us. And now UU churches are full of doubters and questioners like you, who nonetheless come to church on the edge of the inside. Many of you probably know what it feels like to be on that outside edge of the inside. Circles you navigate where you don't quite fit in, but you haven't left. The teacher trying to transform the educational system from the inside. The consumer trying to minimize their ecological footprint and question capitalism. The citizen and an imperfect democracy working to fix it by protest, by voting, by organizing. The artist who learns the rules to break them and makes sure that their art gets seen by the people who need to see it. Richard Rohr says, "The prophet is always on the edge of the inside, not an outsider throwing rocks, not a comfortable insider who defends the status quo, but one who lives precariously." It is a unique kind of seeing and living which will largely leave the prophet with nowhere to lay his head. You can only truly unlock systems from within, but then you are invariably locked out. When you live on the edge, you will almost wish you were outside. But then you're merely an enemy, a persona non grata, and you can largely be ignored or written off. But if you are both inside and outside, you are the ultimate threat, the ultimate reformer, and the ultimate invitation. As you can see, it takes courage and strength. All the prophets, in all the stories of the prophets, they said, "Why me? Who am I to do this? What if I get it wrong? Choose him. What if they don't listen?" But they do it. Because, in some cases, they are called by God. For non-theists, imagine that calling as your longing, your knowing, a fire in the belly, a gnawing at your conscience, a spark in your mind, and then an acting on it. We all have the power to be prophetic. Or at the least, and this is not small, to do our part to support prophets. UU Rebecca Ann Parker says, "It is a mistake to see the prophet as an isolated, heroic individual. It is better to see him or her as the crest of a wave." We, each of us, and together as a church, can be that wave. If we do our part to stay awake, to question, to act up, who knows what great prophecy, what great vision will rise to the top of our collective wave. May it be so.